So, Nigel, first of all, in terms of team news, Ryan Flynn, how's he?
Yeah, he's fine. He's training this week and he's back in the squad for the weekend. Because we've lost Tony McMahon and we lost Adey White to the squad from the weekend.
How so? McMahon first then, what's happened to him?
Well, he's suspended. And also, ironically, he just twisted his ankle this week as well, so in training. So he wouldn't be fit for the weekend, even if he wasn't suspended. But yeah, we've lost an Adey White. We're going to try until the death to get permission, but it's unlikely from Leeds, which is perfectly understandable.
Shame then, because he'd been doing quite well, hadn't he, recently?
Yeah, he'd done well on the left-hand side there, you know, either at left-back or one-on as well. So yeah, we'll miss him.
At least if there's one area of the team where you do have an abundance of players, it's the left-hand side.
Yeah, we do with Simon Lappin now and Matt Hill, and you know, Murph can go out there as well. So now Fabian Brandy's available again. Yeah, we've got a few options out there.
The other side of the coin, though, I think you're letting McFadzean play for Chesterfield, aren't you? What's your thinking behind that?
Well, he's gone to play games, so that's the idea. And if you deny them a weekend, we try and give permission if we can for all the lads to play, because that's the reason they've gone out there.
Is this a situation where you want to run with a similar squad to the Orient game, or you might sort of have a look at some of the players you've not had a chance to have a look at right now?
No, it'll be a similar squad to the Orient one. We'll put our best available team out there. No, we don't believe in that as a principle anyway. But even if we did, I don't think we could afford to do that against Cambridge. You know, they've lost one game all season, and here we are in the first week in December.
Is this an indication then that your views on who you want and who you like are starting to crystallise in your mind then, if you're starting to keep things as settled as you possibly can?
Yeah, I think so. There's certain players who have been in the last few games and we'll probably stay, and we're trying to get a settled core now of the side. And then we've still got to look at one or two more outside of that. Jamie Murphy's impressed us in the last few weeks when he's come on. And also in the under-21 game and in training. So he's come into our thoughts a little bit more than he did in the first few weeks.
What's particularly impressed you about him? How's he done?
Well, he's very quiet the first few weeks we came in, and we were looking for something, and we were sort of a situation, come on, show us something, show us what you've got. And there wasn't a lot there. But just recently, I think he's done well. He did well when he came on against Warsaw, got at them, got a few crosses in. Put him on when Josie got tired just the last 10 minutes or so. I think the fact they picked the ball up at Orient, ran straight at them and got a shot, you know, it was positive. It was done with intention, and we like that sort of play.
Have you found that with sort of several members of the squad, you're almost having to cajole them and coax them out of the shells right now?
A little bit, because I think everybody's been a bit shell-shocked in the first 2-3 months of the season when, you know, when you lose games and you're expected to be up there and you find yourselves at the other end of the table, then it takes its toll on everybody, and confidence is the first thing that's affected by it.
One player who you've not really had a look at yet, Florent Cavalier. Is there a particular reason for that? What are your thoughts on him right now? Because he was kind of hailed as a big arrival when he came in, given his reasonable track record in what he's done in his career.
Not being able to get him in. He's been in every squad, I think every 18 that we've had. It's just not been the situation. The situation hasn't arisen where we can either get him on the pitch or start him. Doyle and Stephen McGinn, we think, are settling into a nice partnership in there. Connor Cody slotting on the right. You know, it's Simon Lappin on the left or AD, so it's where do we get him in there? Jose's come through in the last few weeks and done well. So it's just literally numbers and logistically, how can we get him in the team?
It's a situation with Baxter, having been at Leighton Orient. How do you feel he did it in that role? Because do you feel that that's his best role going forward?
Yeah, we think so. I think possibly a bit too much of a luxury to have in a centre midfield role in the position that we're in at the moment, in a two. If it was a three, it might be a bit different. But yeah, I think Upper, you want him in the last third to make a difference and just get him on the ball. And it was interesting because we knew, you know, going to the league leaders or where they were after the game, that we might not have that much possession. So it was interesting to see him in that sort of game. At home, it might be different. We might get a bit more of the ball to him.
Could you almost sort of put Cavalier in that bit of a luxury to have in the midfield where you are right now, because he is perhaps a bit more of a technically gifted player than someone who would graft like a Doyle?
Yeah, because we must understand the situation we're in. And as much as we'd love to say, let's put all our flair players in and we'll play our way out of it, it very rarely happens like that. So we'll try and get one or two in there and give them a go as and when we can.
The name Lesnil Jean-Francois has done the rounds recently. Just to clarify, what contact has there been? What relationship is there with him now?
He's back doing some rehab with us. I think there was an arrangement made a few months ago. Said when he's been doing some stuff back in France, and then when he was at a level, he could come back and step it up for a couple of weeks. So we just started that this week. I think we've got a friendly next week at Mansfield, predominantly the under-21 side, so we might even feature in that, depending on what stage he's at. But there's nothing more than that.
Right, so it's all for his benefit then, really. It's not necessarily anything for Sheffield United for the future.
No, not at the moment, no. He's literally just come and help him out with his rehab.
About a month or so ago, we were talking about Diego de Girolamo, and it was hinted that he might be about to start training again around this time, so a month or so away. Where's he at?
He joined in this week for the first time. He did the warm-up on Tuesday with the lads and felt okay. The physios weren't keen, but we sneaked him in there, and he had sort of 10 or 15 minutes in the eight-a-side that we finished with, which was good. And his college on the Wednesday, so that worked out ideal to get a rest and do a little bit of legwork. And then he back joined in again this morning, Thursday morning. So it's good just getting back. It's very early stages, but it's good just getting back involved. Be amazed when you're running on your own and you're doing your rehabilitation. You know, it's soul destroying at times, and you're in the gym. Your aim is just to get back training and joining in with the rest of the lads, and he's just about there now.
Do you have an idea then as to when you might be able to at least stick him on the bench?
No, not yet. It's very, very early stages of that. So he won't even feature, I don't think, in the game next week. So we could do with, I think, a few good weeks training, build up his stamina, his strength and everything, and then maybe looking after Christmas.
Training. The gales are blowing around. How difficult has that been today?
Well, we've been indoors.
Right.
It wasn't worth trying to do anything. You see the conditions up here. You wouldn't be able to put a cone down or a football without them blowing away today. So no, we went inside.
So let's focus on the game then. Cambridge as an opposition right now. What's your assessment of them?
Solid conference side. You know, we've got experience of that level. We know that the top half of the conference comfortably compete in League Two. I think Cambridge fall into that category. I think if they were in there now, you'd expect them to be top 10. Got a good, organised side together. Only lost one game and have an excellent home record as well. So it's going to be a tough one, but we're looking forward to it. It's third round plays at stake.
Do you feel that almost within their squad, because just having the briefest of overviews, they're all sort of some of them are at the younger end, they've played around in the lower divisions, that there's an opportunity here for them to make a name for themselves?
Yeah, I think that'll be the case all season, but, you know, any team that goes on and wins the conference, which they're hoping to do, I think they'll be attracted, or clubs will be attracted from higher leagues. But when they're live on television on Sunday morning, I don't think we'll be too conceited or whatever when we say I think we're the biggest club left in at this stage, because Wolves went out, I think, did they? Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we're probably the draw that everybody wanted. The reason we're on television is there's a chance of an upset.
It's a situation where they will have big crowd. It's almost like the stereotypical banana skin, isn't it, you're looking to avoid here?
Yeah, we are. But I think the way we've approached our recent games away from home gives us encouragement, something to build upon. We've gone down, we've made it difficult. So we won't be resting people or putting half a team out, and we'll be making the players aware that this will be as difficult as any League One away game.
At any standard of football, to have amassed that home record is excellent, isn't it? Perhaps particularly at that top end of the conference where you only get one or two breakaway teams, don't you? And it's not really happened yet.
No, it's a hard league and it's a slog, you know. So for them to be up there after the start that they've had, it's tremendous. No Richard Money from Manchester City days as well. Very experienced coach and manager. And he's got them well drilled, you know. We've watched the two games against Bury and also a couple of their league matches as well. And sometimes you drop lucky in the conference and you get lads who really should be playing in the league. You know, we got that at Burton with a couple of lads, you know, like John McGrath and Jake Buxton and Michael Simpson. And then they just drop down for whatever reason, and they can make very, very good conference players and make the difference in that league.
So who are the players then that probably could or should be higher up the divisions then for them?
Well, they've got a striker on loan from Palace, I think, who's lively up front, Apaya. And they've got a lad who just scored two the other night, Berry, in midfield. He's a good midfielder. They're a big, tall side as well, dangerous from set plays. I think they've got one of the tallest right wingers, certainly that we've seen, and they do hit him a lot from goal kicks.
So interesting tie then. The League Cup obviously is a competition you know very well. What are the FA Cup highlights then for you?
A few semi-finals and mainly losing, although at latter stages occasionally. But the Burton one with Manchester United, they were, you know, even at this level, you know, to get through to the third round will be exciting for everybody when you are in the hat with all the big boys. Everybody wants to get to that stage.
And it gives everybody something to look forward to, doesn't it? Or something added to look forward to.
Yeah, because when you're battling at the wrong end of the table, sports, it's going to be a slog for the next 3 or 4 months, and it is. So if you've got that little cup run that's going, it just adds a little bit of nice something on the side.